Our message is going to be centered around a courtroom setting today, and so it just seemed appropriate to give you a lawyer joke. We don't have any lawyers in the house, do we? Good. All right. You probably heard this one before. I heard about these two men, the Pope and a lawyer. They died on the same day. Peter met them in the gate and said, "Follow me, I'll take you to your houses." Peter dropped the Pope off at his small wood-framed house, one bed, one table, nothing to it. Then he took the lawyer to this magnificent house. It was huge, had a big swimming pool, beautiful view out back. The lawyer was overwhelmed, and he said, "Peter, how did I manage to get this spectacular place and the Pope only got a small place?" Peter said, "Well, we've had dozens of popes. You're the first lawyer." I'll have to be sure to share that. My best friend is he's actually a district court judge now in Lubbock, Texas, but he was a lawyer of course, judges are lawyers, but, I'll have to share that with him. Praise God. Well, amen. I'll invite you to open your Bible to Isaiah 43. Amen. All right, Isaiah 43. Now loosen up. The word is good for you today. I've got an encouraging word for you, I believe, something that'll bless you, something that'll help you. You know, I think far too many times we live our Christian life under condemnation, and really more than anything, it's self-condemnation. You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves when throughout the Word of God, we see that God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's ready to forgive, ready to love on you. Amen. Glory to God. Isaiah 43, verse number 25. As we go through this, pay particular attention to the terminology. Again, as we go through the scriptures today, most of what we're going to be doing is pulling out scriptures that have to do with a courtroom setting, talking about judges and advocates and things like that. But pay particular attention to those wordings here. Isaiah 43:25 says, "I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake." Notice that. He did it for his sake. "For my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou, that you may be justified." I like in the Voice Translation, verse 25 says, "I am he who wipes the slate clean and erases your wrongdoing." Oh, thank God for that. Wipes it clean. In the Passion Translation, verse 26 says, "Bring me your version to prove your innocence." Well, what's your version going to be based on? Well, it better be based on the Word, right? Bring me your version. You ever had problems with your kids and you knew that, multiple kids? I'm not talking about if you got one kid at home. I'm talking about when you got the multiples and something has crashed in the other room, somebody's screaming from the other room, and so you go in there and you're getting different stories, and so you got to pull them apart, you got to separate them, and you got to say, "Give me your version." Well, and you'll see where all the versions lie, right? And you'll try to figure out between the three versions which one's going to add up, right? So the Lord says, "Bring me your version to prove your innocence." You know, I'm not a lawyer. Never have pretended to be. I like to debate. Do a pretty good job of it. Anybody out here, you like to debate? No? Nobody? My son was a debater. I'm actually surprised he never became a lawyer. He debated everything. But I did watch plenty of Matlock growing up. So I'm as good as a lawyer, Maybe you got your show where you watched. But take a moment this morning and let's set the stage. You're in a courtroom and so you're hearing these terminologies about, proving your case, and you have an advocate and we're before a judge. And so let's set the tone here. In Isaiah 1:18, the Lord starts off by saying, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But notice the terminology. We just read in Isaiah 43 and Isaiah chapter 1. Notice he says, "Let us plead together." He says, "Let us reason together." That's interesting, isn't it? You always got to remember you're not alone in this life that you live. In fact, the Bible says in John 1 John 2:1, it says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Well, an advocate is a lawyer. An advocate is one who defends by argument, right? And so an advocate, if you go to court, don't raise your hand, but anybody ever been in court? You know, if you go to court, then your advocate is your lawyer. They're the ones that are before you pleading your case on your behalf. Well, the Bible tells us that the Lord is our advocate. And it says that we have an advocate with the Father. And so Jesus pleads our case before God. But always know this, even if you miss it. Anybody ever missed it in here? Be honest with yourself now. Anybody ever miss it? Maybe you need to stick both feet up in the air, you know. Maybe you missed it on the way to church this morning. Heaven forbid. Maybe you missed it when you walked in the door. Well, always know this, even if you miss it, there's always a way back. Your life is never beyond repair. There's always a way back. Amen. And so the Word tells us that we have a legal standing with our Heavenly Father on the basis of the Word. Amen. I want to read a passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2. This will kind of make a lot of sense to you here, but in Colossians 2, verse 10, starting with verse number 10, it says, you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now watch this. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through faith in the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespass. Now watch His word. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Literally what it's saying is the certificate of death. It's the decrees and the charges that were filed against you because of your sin. So He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So every charge against you, every charge saying you're guilty, you did it. Every charge was nailed to the cross. And the Bible says, as a result of that charge being nailed to the cross, it was removed out of the way. Oh, I don't think you've totally got that this morning. That means you're not just a forgiven sinner. That means it's as though sin never existed in your life. That ought to excite you right there. Huh? Come on now. Notice the word blotting. We're going to read several scriptures here that use that word blotting. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You know, I was an artist growing up in high school and college, was studying art and commercial design, things like that. And so I worked as a result of that. I worked with a lot of different mediums, you know, worked with colored pencils and pencil. Those were some of my most detailed work. But I got into a little bit of watercolor. Anybody ever worked with watercolor? You know, I liked dealing with watercolor because if you made a mistake with watercolor, you know what you do? You blot it up. You take like a sponge, and if you make a mistake, you take that sponge and you just quickly blot it up. And it's as though you didn't make a mistake, right? I liked it, man, because, you know, especially when you're working with something that's liquid, you know, a lot of times that liquid doesn't go where you want it to. And so it's nice to be able to blot it up or to erase it. Well, when you blot something, you're causing it to be unseen. You're causing it to be forgotten. And so when the Bible says that He's blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, really what He's doing is He's covering something so that you can no longer see it. It literally means to render indistinguishable. Did you get that? Brother Copeland years ago in an article that he wrote said, talking in reference to Colossians chapter 2, says it rendered invisible the ink of the note that was written against us in sin. Now watch this. See, you know, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, we see the word atonement. In the New Testament, we see the word remission, right? Well, he says in the atonement, atonement would have stamped paid in full on the note. Atonement would have covered the note, but remittance wiped out the ink of the note. I like that. Remittance means there's no evidence now that there ever was a note. Hallelujah. The note is not only paid, it doesn't exist anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ destroyed it. So again, you're not just an old forgiven sinner. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, what does it say? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. New creature, that in one translation says, a new species of being that never existed before. Thank God. So when you're born again, your past is the past at last. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, for this my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Think about this. This is a good example, but you remember the story of David and Bathsheba. We won't go there for time's sake, but the story of David and Bathsheba. And after he sleeps with Bathsheba, the Bible says that the prophet Nathan came to him about that. And he approached him about that. And David, of course, at the end of that discussion with Nathan, he finally gets to the point and he says, I am that man. He owns up to his sin. He said, I've failed. I've sinned. He says, I am that man. And so we see an account of this in Psalm 51, verse number 1. David, again, after Nathan talks to him about Bathsheba, he says this in verse number 1. He says, have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Now watch this. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Notice that word, blotted out. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud your sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. Thank God. You know, another definition of the word blot out. You ever seen an eclipse of the sun where the moon covers the sun to where you can't see the sun anymore? That actually means to blot out the sun. Thank God. So the Bible tells us with the blood of Jesus that all charges that were against us were blotted out. Amen. Look over at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Sometimes you can get on a word and find it in the word multiple times. It kind of helps you understand what it's truly saying. In Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, we'll just read this short passage here. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple, Acts 3:1, went up into the temple at the hour to pray, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom he laid daily at the gate of Beautiful, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now notice something. When does it say this man became lame? From the womb. So he was born this way. So it wasn't just that he was healed and began to walk. He had to learn to walk. I think Pastor Hagin referred to this scripture earlier in the week when he was here. I mean, all in a moment. You reckon the Lord can do some things in you that you can't figure out? Not only was this man lame and received his healing, but he had to learn to walk all at the same moment. And the Bible says that he entered the temple leaping and praising God, right? So notice this. Look at verse number 16. It says, in his name, through faith in his name, because people started seeing this and hearing about this in the temple, and they came to Peter and John and said, how'd you do this? Verse 16, in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now he tells the people, now watch this, verse 19, You repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, thank God for that. Listen, here's the thing you need to understand. We already cleared the air. We already made the comment and the statement that we've all sinned. In fact, the Bible says that in Romans 3:23, it says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we admit that. We know we've all missed it. But here's what you need to understand. Right now, today, as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, right here in the midst of Jesus Himself, there's no record that you ever did anything wrong. Why? Because your sins have been blotted out. Well, Josh, you and I could have a conversation about, well, you don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've done, Tony. You don't understand, because if you knew my past, then God couldn't forgive me. And yet the Lord looks at us and He says, what past? What are you talking about? I have no recollection of what you're referring to. Say, is that possible? Oh, you better believe it is. I'm just reading a few passages. Listen, this whole book, that's what this whole book is talking about. Talking about remission of sin. It's talking about the fact that Jesus shed His blood to blot out, to do away, to destroy every record of any wrong that you ever did. Amen. Come on now, are you getting this? Think of it this way. We're talking about courtroom terminology. Your record has been expunged. Some of you might understand what that means. That means your record has been destroyed. Your record has been wiped out. To be expunged is literally a process that permanently removes or deletes arrests, convictions from all your criminal records entirely, as if it never existed. In fact, I was curious. I looked this up. What's involved in that? In the state of Tennessee, if your record is expunged, that means that even your fingerprint card is removed. Now, you would think that they would leave a little bit of that. You would think, well, let's just leave the fingerprint just in case we have to go back. Just in case. No, if your record is expunged, the prosecution can't even go back and pull it up. They can't even find a record that you did anything wrong. Your fingerprints are not even attached to it. Are you seeing this? Come on now. Well, He doesn't remember your sins. Remember, that's what the Bible says. He says, I've redeemed you. He doesn't remember your sins and the iniquities of the past. He has no knowledge that you ever did anything wrong. And listen, it's not because He has memory loss. See, sometimes we deal with you know, maybe our grandparents, and you start bringing stuff up, and they're like, well, I don't remember that. You know, that's been a while. That's been a few years. Well, that's not the Lord. The Bible says that He forgives and forgets about your sins. They're blotted out because of the blood of Jesus, but it's not that He forgets because He can't remember, because He has memory loss. It's because it's expunged. Your sins, they're done away with. There's no record that you ever did anything wrong. You ought to get excited about that. Amen. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So far from is the east from the west. East, west. I'm trying to help you out also. East, west. Thereabouts. I think north is this direction. Some of you are directionally challenged. But you don't have to understand that to get the point of the message, do you? You're talking about as far in both directions as you can see. The Bible says he has removed our transgression. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like unto you that pardons iniquity, passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Are you getting the picture here? He wants to do away with your sin to where nobody can ever bring it back up again. That's his goal. That's what he's already accomplished. Well, if he doesn't remember it, why should you? I said, if he doesn't remember it, then why should you? You know, when we used to get in trouble, and it was a very rare occasion at my home, you know, my brother was about a year and 10 months older, and so we, a lot of the years growing up, especially when we were in the town that I grew up in, middle school, high school, we shared a room together. And so if you ever shared a room with your sibling, you know how that went down. You know, there was times when we even took a sheet and marked right down the middle of the room, stay on your side, don't touch my stuff. You know. And so, you know, you get into a little bit of mischief. And so I remember when we were younger, you know, you probably heard this growing up too, but I remember my mom, because my mom was at home with us a little bit of the years when we were growing up. And anybody ever heard terminology, you wait till your dad gets home? Oh, sure. And so that stopped you in your tracks. You're like, oh my God. And you know, if that's 10 o'clock in the morning, then you've got a while to wait. Right? If you started your morning off with your mama like that, you've got a long day ahead of you. Trying to think about, oh my God, what did I do and what's going to happen to me? But oh, I remember them days, you know, as you're sitting there and you're preparing yourself and you're stuffing your britches with toilet paper. But I remember those days when you get close to that time and your mama starts getting a little friendly. And you start thinking, I think mom forgot. And then dad gets home and you're waiting. And dinner comes, and you sit down and you eat, and you're waiting, and you're watching. And then you clean up from dinner, and you start getting ready for bed, and you're like, this ain't going to happen. This ain't going to happen. Somebody forgot. Right? Well, of course, you know what happened. Somebody had mercy. Right? But now let me ask you a question. How foolish would it be after dinner time, and you realize that mom either forgot or had mercy, how foolish would it be to go, hey, mom, are you going to tell dad? I mean, we had this discussion. You said, wait till your dad gets home. Well, I've been waiting, and why don't we just go ahead and tell him? That'd be pretty dumb. Right? Well, I want you to get the picture here. The Bible tells us, he will turn again, will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and cast out the sins into the depths of the sea. So if he forgets, if he blots out, if he removes, if he casts away, don't bring it up. Dad Hagen said this one time. He said, it isn't good taste to remind God of something you've already confessed to him and been forgiven of. To remind him that you did wrong in the past is to accuse him of being a liar because he said you're cleansed from all unrighteousness. Well, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Right? So what happens in a courtroom? Well, on the most basic level, okay? Because I understand this is a process, and there's indictments, and there's this, and there's that. Let's just go to elementary 101 courtroom setting. You have an accuser, the prosecution. Well, who's the accuser? That's not rocket science. Who's the accuser? Revelation 12:10 says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the prosecution, right? So you have a prosecution, you have a defense, and once each has brought their case, then you have the final verdict. Well, who has the final verdict? God Almighty is the judge, isn't he? So as you lay your case out before God Almighty, you plead your case as a lawyer would plead his case before the judge. What's happening is the lawyer is continually bringing up law and legal precedent. So in the same way, you bring God's word to his attention. Remember, he said, first scripture we read, put me in remembrance. Listen, he wants to rule in your favor. He has the gavel in his hand. He's ready to declare you innocent. And he says, come on, come on. Let's reason together. Let's plead this out together. Yeah, I hear him over there. He's talking. He's pleading his case. But what you got? What you got? He's waiting for you to bring up scripture so that he could say, not guilty. But if you agree with the prosecution, do you really want him to bang that gavel down? If all you're doing is remembering and clarifying and siding with the prosecution and you're siding with the accuser of the brethren and you're going, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I did it. There's no mercy for me. Yeah, I did it. I'm a sinner. I deserve it. This sickness came on me because. Uh-oh. See, this affects every area of your life. If you see yourself as just an old dirty dog sinner, then you won't receive all the good things that he has for you. So here you are sitting there siding with the accuser. The whole time the Lord's looking at you saying, come on, show me what you got. Let's reason together. Get in that word. Give me the word. Give me the word. So that whenever he sees that you're on his side, that you've got his word on the matter, then he's going to be able to say, not guilty on the basis of the word. Amen. Not guilty by reason of the word. Amen? He wants to rule in your favor. So no matter what this morning, what you may be facing, you have to find scripture to cover your case. But then know this, in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That scripture right there should be the backbone of your argument. That should be the backbone of your case. What's that? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Amen. Jeremiah 1:12 says, I will hasten my word to perform it. In the Message Bible it says, I'll make every word I give you come true. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. You've pledged your case. You've got scripture. You've got his word on the matter. Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What does that mean? He's fair and just. I said he's fair and just. So the judge is standing there with a gavel. He wants to rule in your favor, and he's going to do right by you if you'll just simply grab a hold of the word as it applies to your situation. The judge of the earth will do right. So what's your defense? Not guilty. Everybody say not guilty. Come on now, say it with conviction. Not guilty. You don't have to go on in life paying for the wrongdoings of your past. Far too many people that have that idea. For God to punish you, he would have to remember your sins. But remember, he doesn't remember them. So when people face financial challenges, mental challenges, health challenges, Oftentimes they feel like they're getting what they deserve. And I understand that. There's things in my life that I'm not proud of, things that I've done that I'm not proud of. I get that. But doesn't the Bible tell us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness? Well, you understand 1 John 1:9 is written to believers. It's written to you and I. Why do you reckon that's in the Word? Because we need it. Because daily we need to say, Father, forgive me if I missed it. It's written to believers. Think of it this way, you know, anybody ever had a kid that had a dirty diaper? It's a mess, man. Thank God those days are past. Now, if I get a kid, get one of my grandkids, and they have a dirty diaper, you know where they go? I give them back. Papa don't do that. Papa's days of that are over, right? And if they're at my house, then I give them to Sheila. Those days are over. Papa's the candy guy, not the dirty diaper guy. I give them anything they want, but not that. I'm not doing that. Right? So dirty diapers, they're not fun to deal with. They stink. Make a mess. But have you ever looked at your kids and just said, you remember that day you had a dirty diaper? I mean, they're all grown up, sitting right there at the dinner table with you. You know, I'm not going to let it go because that was a mess. And we're just going to talk about it right now. I remember the day. I remember the hour. I remember what you ate for lunch. Well, you know, I know you're grown and you've got your own kids, but I remember that time that you painted the coffee table with the nail polish. Not naming any names. Or I remember the time that you colored the wallpaper because you thought it looked pretty. Matthew's not here. We can't pick on Matthew because Matthew's not here. No, you're like, precisely that's why we pick on him, because he's not here. Well, we don't do that, do we? We don't sit and rehearse the shortcomings of our kids. Well, you know, he doesn't do that with us either. We've all made a mess of things. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." Listen, I could give you scriptures all day long to say the exact same thing. He's ready to forgive you. But if you don't know the truth, then the devil will continually bring up pictures of your past to condemn you. And oftentimes it's like on a loop. You know what I mean by that? I mean, it's on a loop and it's just playing, and he's just giving you images of things that you've done and things that you've done and things that you've done and things that you've done. The devil will accommodate you. And the minute that you buy into it, and then you start rehearsing it, then you start bringing it up, then it just goes over and over and over. Well, whose fault would that be? That'd be yours. I said, that'd be yours. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Listen, as long as you're under condemnation with a sense of inferiority, you will be hindered in receiving from the Lord. Look over at John chapter 8, a familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 8, talking about the woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verse number 3 says, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman," notice what it says here, "taken in adultery." Now, don't just read right over that. If she was taken in adultery, what does that mean? Where were they? The scribes and the Pharisees were where? Come on now. 1 + 1 = 2 this morning. This isn't hard. Thank you. They had to be in the same room with her, right? So the Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They told on themselves. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Now understand that under the Mosaic law, this was punishable by death. Listen, the law was harsh. I said the law was harsh. And the law focused on punishment if you go back and study it out. So this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. It's interesting to note, beginning with the oldest, even unto the last. See, these old Pharisees, they had enough sense to realize when it was time to walk away. The young bucks, they took a little longer. Jesus was left standing alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw that none but this woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And he said, No man, Lord. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Now watch this, get a hold of this terminology. Neither do I condemn you. But that's not all he said. He said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God that we serve a God of a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, sixth, seventh, eighth, and on. He wants to show you mercy. He's a God of mercy. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:23, His mercies are new every morning. It's who He is. It's what He does. Amen. Glory to God. You remember John chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17. You probably know this passage like the back of your hand. It says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Thank God. So the Bible says God didn't come to this world to sentence, to pronounce guilty, to blame, to point a finger. No, it says, in fact, that He came that the world through Him might be saved. Look over at 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. Says, This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Notice that word, confidence. That's the total opposite of condemnation. Amen. See, if you're condemning yourself, if you feel condemned, there is no confidence to go before God for anything. There is no confidence to stand before God Almighty and receive anything that He has to offer. So you have got to get rid of the condemnation. You have got to get rid of the sense that God is standing up there pointing a finger at you. Psalm 32:1 and Psalm 85:2 says, Your sin is covered and your iniquity is forgiven. Hebrews 10:17 says, And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Thank God. Again, we could spend all morning reading these passages to you that say the exact same thing. Getting back to the courtroom. Once the verdict has been read, it's important that you respond in kind. What does that mean? Once you're pronounced not guilty, you don't go ask for the handcuffs again. You walk out of that courtroom with your head held high and you say, I'm not guilty. I didn't do what they accuse me of. I'm no longer who they say I am because I'm a changed man. The Bible says I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then you know what you do next? You live like it. You take that freedom and you run with it. And you don't ever allow yourself to go back. You have a choice this morning. You can keep going back to the accusations and the charges against you, or you can go back to the verdict. You can go back to the not guilty plea. Because the devil will continually remind you that you're paying for the wrongdoing of your past. It is so important for you to shut him down immediately. The moment that he accuses you, you shut him down. The moment that he tells you something that is not according to the word, you shut him down. The moment that he tells you you're getting what you deserve, then you shut him down. And you say, the only thing that I deserve is the mercy of God. Thank God. His mercy. His mercy. John 8, 31, 32 says, actually, let's just turn over there. I want you to see this for yourself. John 8, 31, 32, then Jesus said to them which believed on him, if you continue in my words, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll know the truth. Thank God for the truth of his word. Look over at 3 John 2. All of these go together. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Now watch this. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. For I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Thank God. One last scripture here. Go back to Psalm 51. I want to finish with David here. David missed it, didn't he? In fact, the Bible tells us, in the story of David and Bathsheba, the Bible tells us that he laid back when it says the time of the kings was to be at war. He was supposed to be on the battlefield. So he wasn't even where he was supposed to be. And so then he's tempted, he sleeps with Bathsheba. Once he realizes what he's done, that she's pregnant, then he has her husband killed on the battlefield to try to cover up his sin. Nathan comes to him, tells him this story about a sheep, and he says, I am that man. I am that man. He owns up to it. But I want you to notice something about David here. In Psalm 51, we read verse number 1. Go down to verse number 7. This is David's response to Nathan. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Now watch this part. I like this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Do you know that's what your response ought to be? Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Everybody stand to your feet. You know, the gist of the message this morning that I wanted you to get is don't be condemned. You're free. He's pronounced you not guilty. So don't pick up the verdict. Don't keep reading and rehearsing the verdict against you. Right? The accusation against you, that is. What you need to rehearse is not guilty. Not guilty by virtue of the blood. Not guilty by virtue of the word. Not guilty. I'm free. Amen. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Listen, this morning, you can enter into His courts with boldness and saying, Father, I am free. I'm not guilty. I can stand before You righteous because You made me righteous. Not because of my good, not because of anything that I have done, but because of the blood of Jesus. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Oh, thank God. Oh, I challenge you this morning, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice, maybe you're online, maybe you're in this auditorium this morning, you might be one of those that's able to point the finger at yourself and say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done in my past. I'm beyond repair. I'm beyond forgiveness. That's a lie of the devil. We just spent the last 45 minutes telling you all the reasons why that's not true. So this morning, if that's you, if you're able to say, I am that man, I'm the guy, I'm beyond repair, it's a lie, don't you buy into it. This morning, my prayer for you is that you would see the goodness of God. If that's you this morning, I just want to pray a simple prayer with you. He's ready to forgive you this morning. And in forgiving you, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your new starts this morning. His mercies are new every morning. Oh, thank God. If that's you this morning, I'm guilty. I did it. But you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. You've never said, Lord, come in and be Lord of my life. I want to pray with you. If you say, well, I'm born again, but I've missed it. I've missed it. I feel condemned. I feel full of shame. Then ask for His forgiveness and move on this morning. Why? Because He blotted it out already. He paid the price already. So don't walk in condemnation. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But I would like to pray for you. You say, I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. But I want to hear the verdict of not guilty. Never made Jesus Lord of your life. Would you slip up your hand? Would you be bold enough to say, that's me? Pray for me. Pray with me. Agree with me. Your life could be eternally changed this morning in a moment. Ask anybody around you. We've all been here. We've all been here. We've all been here. We've all missed it. But there is forgiveness. There is salvation. There is a new day. There is a new beginning. And it starts today for you this morning. Anybody at all? Glory to God. Those of you who are listening online, maybe you're listening. You say, I am that man. And all it takes is for you to pray this simple prayer. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I ask You, humbly forgive me for the wrongdoings of my past. Your word declares that as far as the east is from the west, You have removed my transgressions from me. You've blotted out my sin. There's no record, therefore, of any wrongdoing that I've ever done, because You are faithful who promise. I ask You to be Lord of my life. I ask You to be Lord of my life. And I give You control. And I humbly say, forgive me. So if you pray that prayer for the very first time this morning, it's real simple. Right then, your new day begun. Right then. Your new day has begun. He is faithful who promised, and He will accomplish in you that which He said in His word. You can rest assured of that. Not guilty. Not guilty. Oh, I tell you today, rehearse that as much as you need to. Not guilty. If the devil tries to bring up your past, not guilty. If your wife tries to condemn you, look at her and say, not guilty. Not guilty. I didn't do it. Glory to God. Isn't He so good? Is it? Those of you that have been walking free for a long, isn't it good just to not feel the condemnation? To not have to walk around saying, man, but if only I had never. Never what? Never what? You didn't do it, remember? You're not guilty, remember? It never happened. Your fingerprints aren't even attached to it. Thank God. Thank God. I said, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We have an advocate in you. We have an advocate pleading our case before God Almighty. Not guilty. Oh, thank you, Father. You are faithful who promised. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. He is good, isn't He? Amen. Not guilty. I challenge you this morning, before you walk away, turn around and tell your neighbor, not guilty. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Amen.